pony. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Brian Kalk, Director of Energy Systems Development for the Energy and Environmental Research Center. You know, tickled pink at the results. So I'm still, I guess, needing a little help understanding the overall impact of wind.
Sure. Well, Jason, that's one of the things that I will tell you, that in my job as a regulator, if someone has a project that meets the requirements of the law, then our job is to approve it. If they don't meet the requirements of the law, our job is to get them to change it or to disapprove it. And so, you know, as far as wind as a baseload electricity generation source, it's not there. And I'll tell you that one of my frustrations with the wind development is that, you know, wind is not baseload power. So why are all these companies coming forward with these wind projects, which the law says they can do? And so that's kind of a legislative question. If it wasn't for the production tax credits, if it wasn't for state tax credits, if it wasn't for federal policy trying to shut down coal and push wind, I don't think we'd see a lot of wind in North Dakota. And so, you know, oftentimes I think that people mischaracterize what maybe I did in the PSC, that you know, someone brings a project in and they meet the requirements of the law, you approve it. So the wind projects that have come in that I voted for, they've met the requirements of the law. But it's really a larger question of, you know, why are we favoring one energy source over the other? I'm not against wind. But wind should be able to compete the same way coal has to compete, the same way natural gas has to compete. And so that's where, you know, going forward, I think you're going to see a reset in a lot of these energy policies with President Trump. And I think that's the good thing that happened. There's nothing wrong with building wind farms, but they shouldn't have such a competitive advantage in the marketplace over other types, because, say, well, it's 40 below in North Dakota. You know, the wind's not blowing. It's baseload coal that's keeping the lights on.
Transitioning to your new role at the EERC, the Energy Environmental Research Center up at Grand Forks, talk about, are you replacing someone? Is it a new position? Kind of how did this come about, and what is the duties and responsibilities?
No, great question. Actually, it came about very quickly. I was at a retirement party over the Christmas break, and Mike Holmes had been the Director of Energy Systems Development up at EERC for many, many years. I don't think it was quite 20, but it was close. And so Mike retired from the EERC and moved to a different position away from there. So that's how the vacancy was created. And quite honestly, I was at his retirement, and I put two and two together. I'm like, well, geez, Mike is leaving. That's a heck of a great job he's got. There's a lot going on. So we applied for the position. We had a couple interviews over the Christmas holiday break, and then I was offered the position. I guess it would have been last week one day we formally got offered the position. And so it came together pretty quickly, but it's the EERC has been doing work up there for, oh gosh, almost 60, 70 years. They started as actually a lignite coal facility, doing all a Department of Energy lab, if you will. And then about in the 80s, it got defederalized and became an extension of UND to do all types of energy and environmental research. And so, you know, my position will be to oversee a group of researchers that are working on, you know, next generation coal plants, working on better ways to burn gas, transport gas, you know, better ways to work with renewables, working with the industry, trying to figure out what their needs might be, and working with pipeline companies, figuring out better ways to monitor pipelines if there is a spill, better ways to clean up the soil. And so it's going to be more of a leadership role / quasi-technical. I understand there's a lot more technical people there that then there know more about the technical side than I do. And quite honestly, the relationships we've built with I chaired the National Coal Council, or the National Coal Group for our regulatory group at NARUC. I've been on the National Coal Council, and so, you know, a lot of experience in siting projects. So, you know, I'm involved in a different part of the energy field now, to where we're talking about getting projects, the research, that what's the next generation of projects going to be, getting them approved, getting them built. I think I'll goal is to bring a different perspective to that job, but I'm really excited, Jason. I think it's going to be a nice transition. I think we'll, quite honestly, be able to help our state more in that position than I'll be able to as a regulator, because I've enjoyed my time, but I'm ready for something different.
Is there going to be a dress code that you're not allowed to wear bison paraphernalia?
It's funny, as a good loyal bison, when my friend found out I'm going to work at UND, that's been the number one question they ask. What in the heck are you doing going to work at UND? Then the next question they always ask me is, can you get us hockey tickets? So I think it's just good rivalry. But, you know, both are great universities, and they both have a lot going on. And I suspect we'll be doing some work with NDSU as well, because a lot of those areas, they touch both parks. So ag research is big down there. So when it comes to, you know, remediating spills and cleanups, I know that NDSU's got a lot of good policies on that too, and procedures they put together. So I'm excited to leverage both universities and help out where we can.
Well, I'm glad you brought that transition in, because I was going to transition to the UAS industry. I know they're doing a lot with either transmission lines or pipelines. The UAS industry, of course, is big up in Grand Forks, but a lot of people don't know that NDSU does a lot of the software and the analytics that is up in the sky. So any thoughts on that? Are you aware of this, or is this something that you already are going to be excited about? I guess anything about the relationship working with NDSU and UND with the energy sector?
Well, I think it's great when both of our major universities do things together. It's, you know, that whole, you know, research corridor that many have talked about for decades. You know, the more the universities work together, I think the better it is for everybody, because they're not competitors, I think, really. And when, you know, the UAS system, UAVs, I think there's unlimited potential there. And so, you know, we've done a little work with them on the BSC, actually, with some of the companies. So I think it's huge opportunities. And I think what you need to do is figure out, you know, what do we need for, let's just say, pipeline safety, then figure out which places, which university has a better research potential, and they can collaborate on things too. When you apply for these, you know, research grants, or you work with a company, you figure out a major scope of work about what it is the end result that they want to, you know, accomplish is, and then you look at where the best facility is to do it, and they collaborate back and forth. So I think it's a matter of trying to understand what each group brings to the table, then offer that up so we can be competitive. So if there is research and development being done, it's being done in North Dakota, not somewhere else.
All right, final thoughts you might have about what you learned from the PSC and what you're going to bring into your new role. I'll kind of just let you have the floor here, whatever direction you want to take it. Brian Kalk, Public Service Commissioner, he's resigned in order to take a new position, or take a position at the Energy Environmental Research Center up at UND, otherwise known as the EERC. Mr. Kalk, final thoughts are yours.
Sure. I guess what I'd say, Jason, is, you know, my time in the Marine Corps, I saw how important energy security is to national security. And that was one of the things that dropped me to this job in the PSC, being involved in the energy industry. And that's, I think, you know, the driving thing, what I want to do here is, you know, more energy developed at home, it's better for everybody. So take that up at the EERC. But the biggest thing I think that I've probably learned here is that there's some people that want to build everything no matter what, and they don't want to worry about the environmental side. And then the flip side is there's some people that don't want to build anything. And they're always worried about, well, this could do this and this could do that. But at the end of the day, you need to have electricity for people to be warm, for people to live, survive, clean water. And you need to have, you know, oil to do things. You have to transport and all those things that go with it. And I think that you need good common sense people in the middle to understand there's got to be that balance of, you know, make sure you have development, but make sure you find that balance and you're able to hunt and fish. So that's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned. And it's very frustrating, I think, with the anti-crowd right now, because I think they've become overpowering, and to where I think we need more common sense people stepping forward and say, yes, we need coal, we need oil, we need natural gas, but yeah, we're going to make sure we do things right. I mean, this whole Dakota Access protest has really, I think, highlighted just how extreme some of these groups are that have no responsibility for the power grid. They have no responsibility for the safe production of oil and natural gas, but yet they want everything. So that's where I just hope to be involved in that discussion at a different level. And I think at the end of the day, is we have a responsibility to make sure we do what's right for the state.
To listen to the full-length interview with Brian Kalk, Director of Energy Systems Development for the Energy Environmental Research Center, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
You can be Bugs Bunny, I'll be hell, but I'll follow you. I think you know the way.
The American petroleum industry and the surrounding businesses will be hosting the 20th annual API Gumbo Cook-Off. The event will be held Saturday, February 18th at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota. 18 teams will compete for the ultimate trophy and bragging rights. The event starts at 6:30 p.m. with the public taste testing. There's door prizes and a live band. Cost is $10 per person. All proceeds go to local charities and college scholarships. Come taste the dark secrets of the bayou at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota with the 20th annual API Gumbo Cook-Off.
We were pigs, so we'd be getting dirty. I said, we're kind of like that girl.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. buildingthebakkenradio.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today.
Well, baby, you're gasoline, honey. I'm the car. You only put enough in to go so far. Well, come on, baby, I'll fill me up. Step on that pedal and
let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today. 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today. The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. To find out more about Tom Peckskamp and his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp.
We're kinda like that. We're kinda like that. We're kinda like that.